This morning I want to share a little bit from 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you could open there. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 1 to 10. And go ahead and open there. First Samuel chapter 3, 1 to 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, I did not call you, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This morning for EMP, I thought I'd talk about prayer a little bit, just to help us pray. And the longer that I'm in ministry, the more I'm convinced that the battle is won through the power of prayer. And that's something that I know is a difficult task for anybody. And it's a mystery why I don't pray more. It's a mystery why the church doesn't pray more. When you can compare the two problems, you have a problem and you see how much you can accomplish on your own effort. And then you have the same problem and you see how much God can accomplish. And so the difference is totally immeasurable. The fact that what God can accomplish through prayer is infinitely greater than what we can accomplish in our own effort. But I ask myself, why? If I know that in my head, then why don't I pray more? And I think the issue at hand here is that certainly one of the key issues is that prayer is hard work. And in fact, it's lonely work, right? No one pats you on the back for all the hours of prayer that you spend, right? No one pats you on the back or writes you a thank you card for waking up at 2 in the morning, interceding and praying for someone else, right? No one pats you on the back for coming to EMP when no one else is here. No one rewards you here on earth for hardworking prayer, sacrifice. And I wonder if that's why God honors it so much, because prayer, when we pray, it declares our absolute surrender and dependency upon God to accomplish matters for eternity. And when there's an absence of prayer, what it declares is that we believe that we can do things on our own power without the intervention of God. And when I think of that, that's a very scary thought. But prayer is not only talking to God, it is also listening to Him. And here we have the classic example of God speaking to Samuel, revealing Himself to Samuel. But if you notice, it's not necessarily in a spectacular way. In verse 1, it says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare." In other words, the revelation or the voice of God in this time was rare. I don't have the time to go through the history and what was happening and why that was so. But the fact of the matter is that the word of the Lord or the revelation of His voice was rare in this time. And so when there was a revelation, one would think that it would be a huge event. It's like, "God, we haven't heard you in such a long time, you know, and when you do come," that's obviously human psychology. That's what we would think. But the way God reveals Himself during a period where the voice of the Lord was rare is in a still small voice, is in a whisper, is in calling His name. Samuel, Samuel. And so we see that God's not really speaking to him in spectacular form. And in fact, Samuel doesn't even know if it's God or not. You know, he doesn't even know who it may be. He thinks it's Eli. And only through Eli does Samuel know, oh, this voice that I hear is actually God. I don't know about you, but I've in my heart felt like, God, why don't you just give me dreams all the time? Why don't you give me a rainbow, you know, and just, you know, or why don't you give me a burning bush like every week or so? But in my experience, I don't know about yours, that doesn't seem to happen. And I wonder if it's because maybe God wants us to see him in the ordinary rather than to depend on him only in the spectacular. I wonder if it's because God wants us to learn to experience him in the everyday, ordinary, instead of just depending upon him for the extraordinary. I think it's dangerous to feel like God loves us or is concerned about us or communicates to us only in the big, spectacular, glorious, glamorous things. Because I believe God speaks to us every single day. Just like a father speaks to his children on a regular daily basis, so does our Heavenly Father do for us. But when we become accustomed to thinking that God only loves us when he does spectacular things, or God only wants to tell us important things in the spectacular, that thinking is very dangerous. It's kind of like a daughter who only loves her dad when he buys her big-ticketed items or name-brand things. And you know that there's a level of name-brand things. You know, there's H&M, and then there's like Louis Vuitton and Gucci up here. You know, there's, and it's like a daughter only loving daddy back when he buys her only this big-ticketed name-brand high-level things. But that's not true at all. That God loves her not only in the big-ticket name-brand spectacular, but God loves, or the dad loves her always in the ordinary, in feeding vegetables and all these things. I wish God would just scream out instructions for the will of my life. I wish I didn't have to pray. I wish I didn't have to get on my knees. I wish I didn't have to try so hard, it seems like. I just wish he would just scream out instructions and just telling us what to do instead of me trying to search for him or seek for him. It's kind of like playing hide and seek. It's like God is hiding out there, and then I've got to try to find him. But you understand what the point of that game is? Hide and seek. The point of the game is to find and to be found. The point of the game of hide and seek is to find and to be found. Can you imagine how cruel it would be if you played a game of hide and seek with your children, right? And you said, okay, Elijah, go hide. And then the point is to just leave him hiding forever. What a cruel dad that would be to play a game in that way. No, you've got to find him. And so I believe, as the scriptures make it clear, the love that God has for us, he says, seek and you will find. He's not just saying that. It's a scriptural truth. It's a biblical truth. But I wish it wasn't like that. I wish he would just scream out directions and scream out the will of my life. And I wish we didn't have to seek him. I wish we didn't have to pray so hard. And I wonder if it's maybe because if God tried to do all those things all the time, maybe it would be like a mother who inadvertently trains her kid to only pay attention when she raises her voice. I'm sure maybe you've seen TV shows or maybe seen other families where the kid only responds when the mom just yells at that person. She would, you know, say many times, no, don't do this, don't touch this. And finally she raises her voice and she screams. And the only way that the child responds is if the parent screams and raises her voice. But maybe it's that when we raise our voice, the children quickly tune the parents out. But when we lower our voices and when we speak something private to somebody, you know what happens? If you're trying to tell a secret to somebody and you're trying to whisper to somebody. I can whisper something to you. You cannot hear what I'm saying unless you get closer. Oh, shoot, here we go. You can't hear what I'm saying unless you get closer and closer. No, you're still too far. You've got to get closer. No, you're still too far. You've got to get closer. You have to get so close that the lips of the speaker almost has to touch the ear of the listener in order to hear the secret, in order to hear something like a whisper. And I wonder that as we pray and as we listen to God's voice and as we seek His face, as we have this interaction of prayer, of seeking His face and listening to His voice, I wonder if maybe God wants us to just get closer. He wants to tell you the words of, you're valuable, you're important. He may not be shouting it across the room, because in order to hear His secret, you have to get closer. And I truly believe that the heart of God is more than barking out instructions to discipline you or calm you down or whatever. I think His desire is for you to get closer. I'm telling you, I just wish He would just bark out instructions from heaven. You know, let there be, you know, just rainbows all around. You know, God, am I supposed to take this job? Rainbow. God, am I supposed to date this girl? Rainbow. You know, it just... Or maybe I have to get on my knees and pray and seek God. God, is this who you want me to be with? Is this what you want me to do? I can't hear you. Get closer. Get closer. Get closer. Thomas Merton once said that if you find God with great ease, perhaps it is not God that you have found, but something else. Make no mistake, God is not difficult to find, because seek and ye shall find. Every time we say yes to God, your servant is listening. And we become a little bit more sensitive to hearing His voice, the easier it is every subsequent time. I want to finish with a sort of familiar story. Back when the telegraph was invented, the telegraph was the fastest method of long-distance communication. And there was a man who applied to be a Morse code operator. And so he answered an advertisement in the newspaper, and he went to the office that was listed. And when he arrived, he entered into this large building office that was filled with noise and clatter, and including the sounds of telegraph in the background. And on the sign, the receptionist counter instructed every applicant to fill out a form and to wait until they were summoned to enter the office. And so this young man, he filled out the form, he handed it to the receptionist, and he sat down along with seven other applicants in the waiting room. And then after a few minutes, this man just stood up, he crossed the room, and he just went into the office. And the rest of the applicants were wondering what's going on. He just had the audacity and the arrogance to just get up and walk into the room. And so they were wondering what's going on. They muttered to themselves, and they hadn't heard anybody come out and say, you know, summons them in. And so they thought to themselves as they were talking to one another, man, this guy is making a huge mistake, you know, that he's entering without being summoned, and he would quickly be disqualified. And they felt great confidence in their chances. However, after a few minutes, the employer escorted this young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, gentlemen, thank you for coming, but this job has been now filled. And so the other seven applicants in the waiting room were quite disgruntled. And they grumbled to each other. And one spoke up and said, hey, wait a minute. I don't understand. He was the very last to come in. And we never even got a chance to be interviewed. That's not fair. Yet he got the job. And the employer said, I'm sorry. The whole time that you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticketing out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, come on in. The job is yours. None of you heard it. None of you understood it. But this young man did. And now the job is his. We live in a world that is filled with busyness and clatter and just like that office. And a lot of times we're so distracted, unable to hear that still small voice that calls out your name, that desires for you to draw closer to his heart. Because really, is prayer all about the words that you say? Is it about all the time and effort that you put into prayer? Is that what God's design for prayer is? No, prayer is about communing with him, being with him, drawing near to him, feeling his heart, knowing who he is. I'm so encouraged by the people that are faithful that come every morning to EMP. And I, along with you, know that it is difficult to pray. And I know in my head that we should. But I want to help encourage us this morning as we pray that God is speaking to us in the ordinary. And he's always communicating with us in that still small voice. What about you? Are you tuned in? Do you hear him when he speaks to you? Are you listening? Let's do that. Let's pray. And let's listen for God's voice. I want you to invite him to speak this morning. And I know you have a lot of burdens. I know you have a lot of things that you want to lift up to the Lord. But before we just begin to pour out everything, I'd like you to just invite the Holy Spirit to speak. Open your spiritual ears and see what the Lord has to say for you. God, speak. Your servants are listening. Holy Spirit, come. Right away, I hear the Lord say to some of you, don't give up your persistence. Don't give up. For your prayers are being heard. And as the Lord is stretching your heart, do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord God is with you. I also hear for someone else that all the work that you're doing, your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain, says the Lord. That all the work that you put in is not for nothing. But the Lord will bless that and multiply the work that you are doing. Let's enter into a time of intercession. First, we want to pray for our missionaries and our mission teams. First, if we could pray for Nagoya, Japan, and Kenya. And let's just ask God to rebuild the country of Japan, that the light of God would enter into a dark land. And let's just lift up our mission team in Nagoya, Japan right now. For Thailand and Rachel, and just ask that God will continue to uphold the work there. Let's ask God to provide grace and provision. So if you pray for Thailand and Rachel. Missionaries, the martyrs, for Chris, Kim, and also P. Samsung and Monica and Ben are there right now, so we can lift them up. Let's pray for protection. Let's ask for favor. Let's pray for just incredible work. Let's ask God to use them on their trip and ask God to open their eyes to see God's heart for North Korea. So let's pray for North Korea. Focus to SP Ministries, first for Noah's Ark. Let's pray for the children, that they would grow up in the ways of God. Let's pray for our new children's pastor, Pastor Carol. And if you could just lift up the transition there. And let's pray for the teachers. And so let's lift up Noah's Ark. lift up SP Youth and Pastor Nate. Let's ask God to bring the teenagers and the youth that are lost and searching. So let's lift up our SP Youth ministry right now. So if we could pray for Pastor Salomon and his family as they're moving, let's just ask God to just really bless their new location. Let's pray over that. Let's pray over the family. And I know it's not here, but I'd like to just lift them up right now as they're in the process of moving. For SP 1.5, that God would just begin to anoint the construction workers and the remodeling, that it would be a space where the Spirit of God dwells, where God would be pleased, and that people would come to know the love of Jesus Christ. So let's pray for this incredible God-sized effort, and let's pray for SP 1.5. Father, we seek you because you are an amazing God. You are greater than anything that we've ever experienced or can understand, God. And Lord, you are a good God. And Father, we just seek you, Holy Spirit. We pray for all of our mission teams and all of our ministries, God. We pray for all of our families here that are represented and those in this body, Lord. And we just ask, God, that you would refresh us and renew us this morning, God. May your Spirit dwell among us, Lord. We honor you. We worship you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.